And another one that has come on the market that you'll find, you can go to your local health food stores around here, and invariably you'll find this symbol of a circle with an S in it and a dot on each side. The one is black and the one is white. It's what is known as yin and yang. Yin and yang are technically male and female gods of Eastern mysticism again. Yin and yang are a religion, and actually they believe that they are the creators. And so it's a total replacement of the God of heaven, the God that made you and us, but actually it is giving that credit to another power called yin and yang. And you find this in literature in our local health food stores around here, and it is dangerous stuff. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And Jesus also said, they believe in half is dark, half is light. They have a mixture of light and darkness, but the Bible tells us very differently. In John 8:12, Jesus proclaimed, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will not walk in darkness. There's no darkness in God. You don't have a yin and yang, which is part light and part dark. And 2 Corinthians 6 says, what part has light with darkness, giving the idea that it's far, far, far apart and there's no connection between them. Righteousness and wickedness have nothing in common. But it is a very mystical, occultic symbol that is on books and literature, and also very, very dangerous to mess around with. The biggest one and most difficult one, of course, is in our county here is probably reflexology. I believe there's literally thousands upon thousands have gone to reflexologists. There are probably a couple hundred practitioners in the county that practice in their basement, in their living room, or wherever, or set up shop and begin treating people with reflexology. Now, the people usually ask me, well, is there anything wrong with treating somebody's feet or rubbing somebody's feet? And the answer is no, there's not. But reflexology is something different. And it depends how much knowledge that people have and how much training they had as to how messed up they are in this whole thing. But I usually tell people, if they have the charts which show the zones of the feet, that is a direct thing that comes out of the Orient, out of Eastern mysticism, out of Hinduism and Buddhism. And this book, as I mentioned last night, I bought in Minneapolis at the airport, and it gives the positive side of reflexology. But in doing so, it has pictures of Egypt, the Egyptians, which I have up front here, treating each other's feet. It has actually a picture of the statue of Buddha lying down or reclining with the zones and the lines on the feet. Reflexology is a new age medicine, and it's something, again, not to mess with. One of the most powerful ladies performing this in the state of Delaware that I know of for many years, plain lady, brought up in the Mennonite church, she is divorced from her husband. And now I think every last one of her married children have also been divorced. It is a total wreckage, a total chaos. And you have to wonder, was there any connection? This lady was practicing reflexology for years, making good money doing so. And yet her home, her faith in God is in shambles. And she has brought herself to ruin. I have noticed other people that are heavily into it, that are in a darkness, in a a mental darkness, emotional darkness, you see, associated with it. But reflexology is not just an innocent rubbing of the feet. Like I say, you and I can rub each other's feet, husbands and wives, wives, husband, or children, makes them feel good. But it is not true that there's a direct connection between these zones in the foot and all of your organs in the body. That, again, is divination, to make that connection. And then, of course, if you look at it, they'll talk about the power of chi. You read the origin of it, the actual foundation, where they're not ashamed of the language, and they're educated in it. They'll talk about the power of chi or prana. They will talk about these blockages that I spoke about last night, that you treat the feet to remove these blockages. But what it really is, is to line up and bring in balance the meridian lines that run through the earth and run through the human body and bring you in harmony with the earth. That's what reflexology is all about. You can't get away from it. Well, I don't treat like that, people say, and I don't go that far into it. I just treat feet and all that. And I usually say, well, do you have the charts on your wall? Or does she have the charts on her wall? Which means she has had training or has learned it from somebody who has had contact with the original source. And it's nothing to fool with, but rather to stay away from. Another one here is chakra oils or liquid candles, or some would call them essential oils. Well, once again, there's nothing wrong with peppermint, spearmint, or a lot of the other mints. They smell good, and if you rub them, they may have some penetrating effects and have some value to rub them on your body. But that's not what essential oils are all about. Essential oils are involved with high vibrational healing and meditation. Listen to these words. These oils carry the divine energy and essences of all the masters of light, Christ, the Elohim, elders, archangels, ascended masters, yogi masters, and deities, and all specially attuned to each chakra to help you with opening, balancing, and raising the vibration of your chakras. To use the oils, anoint your chakras with the oils. As you do this, call upon the masters of light. Ask that they work with you and your higher self to open, balance, and raise the vibration of your chakras. To use the liquid candles, light the candle as you do all, call upon the masters of light. The divine energy and essence in the liquid candle which surrounds as it burns. Ask that the masters of light work with you and help your higher self to help you open and balance and raise the vibration of your chakras. Now, you can find that in stores and shops all over the place. Essential oil candles, essential oils. And like I say, there's nothing wrong with oil. Oils are were used, anointing oils like olive oil and various oils were used for anointing the body. The Bible even says, get up, anoint yourself, in the Bible. And I think those oils are used. But here again, you have that replacement. You have that competition from the other world, from Satan's world, who takes these things that God created that smell good, and give an aroma in the house or whatever, and you open it up in a dish or burn it in a candle or whatever, which in itself would nothing be wrong with. But when they lead you into real aromatherapy, they're going to ask you to call upon the gods that are with it and behind it, and to ask these masters of light. And you notice there that they mention Christ. You see, pantheism or Buddhism and Hinduism believes in many gods. So yeah, Jesus is just one of the many. And so they'll mention Christ But they'll mention all these others, masters of lights and what have you. And so, and the sad fact there, some of you are familiar with the budget, the Amish Mennonite newspaper has been going for many years, gave the account of a man down in Virginia who they took to one of these doctors, and he rubbed him down with all these essential oils on the way home. He went totally berserk, screaming down the road. They had to drop him off in a mental hospital on the way home. And there are many others that have been treated who don't have that kind of an effect. But I'm telling you, something goes on in the spiritual realm when you dabble in occultic medicine. And that's what this is, I believe. You have the same thing tied in with that is also aromatherapy, which like light therapy, color therapy, aromatherapy, and essential oils are all kind of connected, and everyone just does a little bit of the same thing. Another thing I wanted to mention is these meridian lines that run through the earth. I had a couple here last night. I'm not sure if they're here tonight. I don't believe so, but anyway, there are many people in Lancaster County who are getting messed up with lining up their lives with these north and south meridian lines, which again is a New Age term, and it's a New Age religion. They are adjusting their bedroom, their beds, according to a compass, or actually divining rods. A guy comes into the bedroom and tells them which way to set their bed for success, for health, for well-being. They take little children's beds and adjust them in the room. It doesn't matter which way the walls go, the bed has to be adjusted according to these lines that run through the earth that will bring you in balance with the earth and that will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, supposedly. People are falling for this. Other things that go along with that. Some years ago, I understood some people locally here, not a few miles from here, were burying a rod, a certain power rod, outside the window of their bedroom. That was supposed to have an effect upon you and upon your well-being and emotional and spiritual and physical well-being. It's amazing. This New Age religion, you always watch that. One of the things I watch for on the labels of a bottle is, in any kind of a medicine, if it is supposed to affect you emotionally or affect you your moods, and then it you know that it is broader than having a physical effect. It's also working on you, as they would say in their true literature, spiritually. It has a spiritual effect. If you're buying spirituality in a bottle, you're buying the wrong one. That's part of this sheet here, the New Age movement. The Antichrist, the New World Order, the Age of Aquarius, the Mother Earth things to bring you in harmony with Mother Earth, and so on. All right, the next one is muscle testing, or kinesiology, it is called by many, or applied kinesiology. And that is the age-old thing, or our age at least, has been going on for many years. And it's so interesting, you know, as a young man, I went to a chiropractor maybe a few times and got an adjustment and made you feel a lot better. Or if your back was out of place or you hurt yourself in a fall or something like that. But these fellows, nearly all of them in the county, have gone back to school, and they come back with many new chapters to their practice. I don't know what to do with some of their original chiropractor. I know, like I said, we said last night, the origin was pretty heathen in that way too, but and so was some of the rest of modern medicine also. But what these men have done is going back to school, and all at once the chiropractor is also selling herbs, but to test whether they work for you or whether they're good for you, He asks you to hold a bottle of those herbs or pills or capsules in your hand and hold them to your stomach and asks you to stick your hand out, and he tests you whether this is good for you by pumping your arm, and if you can have a good resistance, you don't need it. But if you're weak, then, if you're weak, you don't need it, maybe, or that anyway, when you, there's a connection to the medicine that is what you need, and that's how they determine what you need, and therefore they sell you the medicine then. We talked a lot last night about divination. And here again is where divination takes place. There is no scientific connection between that medicine and the strength of your arm. When you hold it in a bottle, and it's inside the bottle, and it's inside capsules, and you're just holding it in your hand. Again, you'll need a mystical connection to the body in order for that hand to act different whether you hold the pills in your hand or not. That medium is usually an evil spirit, or it has to do with mystical spirits and evil. And applied kinesiology, as you know it, as I believe, is not of God, it's not right, and not scientific either. We found a doctor on West Columbia Avenue here in Lancaster that we went to after my wife had a hysterectomy that we thought had some herbs that would help bring the hormones into balance after a hysterectomy normally upsets that in a woman's life. And he said, well now, in order to treat you, you know I'm going to have to test you. And so I'll test you with these certain natural hormones, with kinesiology, hoping you don't have a problem with that. I said, you mean you won't sell them to me if you don't? If I don't let you first test my wife that way? No, I won't. He said, I am so convinced of it, I will not even treat you I won't even sell you any if I can't first test you. I said, okay, thank you. And we got up and walked out of the office and went home and never went back again. But that's the kind of trick, that's the kind of pressure they put on you. You get into these places and they say, well, now, we want to see if this works, if this is good for you. Why don't you stand up here on the wall and stick your arm out? And they just do it so innocently like that, left and right. That is called applied kinesiology or muscle testing. And it's amazing. Virtually every plain practitioner around the country seems to do muscle testing. My. It's just no end to these things. Muscle testing is also based on certain beliefs of chiropractic, including in some forms of innate intelligence or the ancient Taoism. There you have that Far Eastern religion again. In particular, the meridian structures of classical Chinese acupuncture. It teaches that if left untreated, blockages or imbalances of the body's energy, the life force or qi, eventually result in physical illness or aberrations. And so, all roads lead back to China. All roads lead back to Buddhism and Hinduism. You can't get away from it. Every time you find one of these things, you search out where it comes from, it gives its credit back to the life force. And there's where the Antichrist whole religion lies, in that power. And so, here a man that teaches the touch for health can be performed in virtually the same manner as psychic healing, he says. For example, in so-called meridian tracing, one can apparently regulate mystical energy flows by mental power alone. In fact, you do not even have to make contact with the body. You can simply follow the meridians in your mind eye through concentration or meditation and produce much the same effect. Now you don't have to even hold the pills. You might as well just put them on the shelf. As long as you look at them and concentrate on them, you'll have the same effect. That's what he said. We are all one with the universe, is the common New Age belief, the universal energy. And that is a replacement, direct replacement of God. There seems to be, I need another one here I would like to give. Here is iridology, or eye reading. Also very, very popular here in Lancaster County, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, where have you. Iridology. And not only that, but it is also very prevalent in the world today, becoming ever more prevalent even in the medical fields, that you may find this being used in hospitals now, because what's happening, the medical world is absorbing the New Age world as things degenerate, and that's one of the reasons we do not advocate nurses training anymore to become an RN, unless it would be specifically a strong Christian that would want to use it maybe on the mission field. But for the most part, they will give you New Age medicine training in nurses training today. But here is iridology. Now, this is the man that, by the name of Ignaz von Pechzili, if I can say it right. He was the man who was messing around with an owl, and the leg broke. He had a fight with the owl. The owl was kind of attacking him, and he broke its leg. And when he did, he thought he saw some kind of a spot or some reading in the eye that showed the pain that it was having or the problem it was having in its leg. And he come up with this whole, most of it seems to be quack here, or potentially occultic practice called iridology or irisology. And there's various names for it, but what it means is the reading of the eyeball or the iris of the eye to determine what's wrong with you. Now, this has been tested and cross-tested many times, and it is not more effective than a mere guess. Some of the major medical associations have actually, given it the benefit of the doubt and tested it out to that extent. But what happens is it has entered the New Age camp. And so the iridologists will have their tent alongside the reflexologists, the kinesiologists, and all the other ologists of that kind. And so it enters in with people who are already psychically or occultically involved. Now you have an occultist peering in your eye with a flashlight and trying to read it, and prescribing to you what's going on. And the next thing you know, the individual is psychically affected or occultically affected by having gone to a doctor or a practitioner who is into iridology. It's a common practice in Europe and a growing audience in the United States also, known as iris science, iriscopy, irisology, iris diagnosis, and various other names that surround it. But this has been done, there are some very interesting double-blind tests where, a person had cirrhosis of the liver, like, or a major thyroid problem, and didn't say a word, went to an urologist and said, "What's my problem?" And, well, it was way off, And so, like I say, it's nothing more than a mere guess, unless someone is so psychically empowered that they actually have psychic powers to diagnose your sickness and maybe hit it right on. That's also possible in some of these things, because they have supernatural powers from Satan. Estimated 10,000 practitioners of iridology in Europe and over 1,000 in the United States, and I don't think that even scratches the surface. I think there are many, many more besides that. But that also is one to stay completely away from. You go to see a practitioner, an herbologist, that wants to read your eyes while you're there and see what's wrong with you and see if they can help you. Don't let them do it.
Amen.
Just get up and walk out. You know what the problem is in this whole thing? People are trying to enter into a power, they want a power like God. It's the same old Garden of Eden problem. People want to be like God and know things that are not given mankind to know. And so they continue to dabble in occultic powers to try to get this information and learn this stuff so that they are able to be have honor, make money, and being able to diagnose and tell people without years of experience as a home doctor or a home practitioner, they want to know this through other powers. And so they go to some seminar and learn this stuff, and the next thing you know, they're diagnosing sicknesses when they're not fit to and have not had the experience or the education for it. Like it says here in an article I have, they're playing God. It's the lust for power. The lust for power and the lust for fame, perhaps, or the lust for money. Numerous things. Some of these practitioners have got very wealthy in being able to treat people. You know, it's just amazing. I just heard of one the other day that is charging $130 an hour for an hour's treatment or something like that, because they think they have this special treatment that is able to really help you. But I believe it is the lust of for power. All right, let us talk a little bit yet about this whole matter of bracha or powwowing, which is considered to be folk medicine or white magic. If you ever have the opportunity, you can go to the Mennonite Heritage in here in Lancaster, Historical Society, and in there they have these magazines that are printed monthly, and in the July 1980, a Gerald Studer printed this article on powwowing, folk medicine or white magic, and it is an extremely informative article that I picked up from there and gave the local situation with it here. But it's amazing, not only among trained people, but even in Berks County or in Souderton down here and various places where the hub of this thing was. When the Germans first come in here and settle into Pennsylvania, they are still men out there in the world that are practicing powwowing, where worldly people go to for help. And so, but what I mentioned last night is it's not necessarily the same as Indian powwowing, but what happened is that when the Puritans first came from England, they met an Indian group of people who were doing their powwowing, and they were doing their bracha, as it is called in German. There's not really an English name for it, and that I know. But anyway, as they compared the two, the Indians said, well, we do the same thing. You know, ours is called powwowing, and that's why it's called powwowing. But it was very similar in how it drew on these mystical occultic powers for healing called white magic, and so on, but the Indians call it powwowing, the Germans call it bracha, but it's very similar in both getting its power from the same source, but yet it has different origins. The Indians had their heathen origins here, the Germans got theirs out of wherever in Europe. I believe it probably comes from the 6th and 7th book of Moses, Egyptian sorcery. You know, who knows? This thing could come it's very evident to me that when the children of Israel left Egypt, they had learned some of the Egyptian powers and sorceries and things and drug them along because they kept showing up in Israel after they left Egypt. And I have to often wonder, did that thing come all the way down through to our day? And here we have it today. But, you know, you never know. The devil, even if he doesn't have a direct line like that, he seems like somebody hatches it up. And but anyway, I mentioned also that about the book, The Long Lost Friend, or the 6th and 7th book of Moses, are in the county and are still being used today, or on the bookshelves. And even though it is losing its major power, it seems like, and grip on the people, except when you go, like, the darker the religion, the worse this thing is. And you go into certain sectors of the country where the religion is very dark, and you will find many powwows are still existing in those places. But today, men go for the more sophisticated New Age. It's still the same old thing, but just a different term that people have today. All right, one other thing is called, of course, by now I think you should know what this is all about, and that's the Qi machine. Made a tremendous explosion here in the county and other counties, and relatives and friends across the nation to put your ankles on a machine called the Qi machine, and that, and just relax and open up. And this thing was, of course, supposed to bring healing to you, or to treat you for all kinds of things that were wrong with you. Here, a young man gave this report. I'll just read part of it. As he went to a seminar here in Lancaster County, when they promoted this thing, maybe about, oh, what do we have here? He wrote this in 2000, so 8 years ago, nearly. As I listened in on this seminar, I looked about, seeing professing people representing Amish, Winger, Weaverland Conference, Mennonite churches, and worldly people, all eagerly drinking in this spiritual poison. Yes, it appeared so harmless, presenting with polish, expounding in a caring attitude, steeped with medical terms which could be true, and fortified with Eastern religious logic. Yet no one seemed concerned about the key question. Are we, who have placed our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, comfortable having qi, which is Chinese religious spiritual energy, move through our body? Can a Christian place his mind in a relaxed state and let this Chinese religious spiritual energy, qi, take over our body? Or can a Christian put his feet in the machine and let the Chinese religious machine pump this energy through your body that's supposed to energize your organs and your muscles and everything and fix them up? It says here, the qi machine can bring physical benefits to a people who place faith in it and uses it. A person who puts himself in a relaxed state of mind, focusing the spiritual energy qi to various portions of his body, is making a choice. He is asking the spiritual powers of qi for a physical benefit. He is placing faith and trust, not only in the machine, but in the spiritual energy behind the machine. Now, it's interesting, after a while, people got an idea, yeah, they did find out this qi has to do with a religion in the Far East. And they got a little uncomfortable, and look-alike machines that vibrated you the same way started coming out, that treated you the same way, that weren't called qi machines. They were called something else, you know, some other treatment machine. That's how subtle Satan is bringing that things in to our midst these days. You know, if you don't like the name, just get rid of the name. But I remember a man in Ohio, Holmes County, Ohio, gave me the story when he got convicted that this thing is wrong. And this was his words, or this was his story, as I remember today. I packed up that thing, I picked it up, and I had the box for it yet. I decided I'm going to send it back and tell him I don't want it. It's because he had experienced some weird and strange things in when he used it. And he went to put it in the box, and he said, I got hit over the back of the head with a 2x4. That felt like a 2x4. He said, it nearly knocked me out. I'm not sure if he regained his balance or if he fell to the ground and got back up. And then with all determination, he was making sure he got that thing out of there and sent it on its way. But just like that, when he moved to get rid of that thing, he was hit with something that just nearly stunned him. Qi machine. All right. What else we have? Well, there are other things, of course. Like I say, if you look at this chart back here, somebody said we could probably go for a month. But feel free to look over this and just see some of these things that you you may connect with. Biofeedback, transcendental meditation, that is something that came out of India with Maharaji Mahesh Yogi, who was an Indian guru that visited the colleges of Harvard University. And when I was in Harvard University witnessing to people about the Lord back in the 70s, this fellow was coming in there and his pictures were all over and people were talking about it and they were learning this transcendental meditation. Well, that's a misnomer too. First of all, no human being on earth is transcendental. The only thing that is transcends or transcends into everything is the God of heaven. He is the all-powerful one, so there is no human being that should ever be involved in transcendental meditation. But this fellow taught people to sit Indian style on the floor and empty out your mind and go into this trance-like thing where you just sat there for an hour or hours at a time, sometimes take a little LSD to help the whole thing along, and you would go on trips and see things and feel things and have some awful experiences. But anyway, they thought they were making touch with a mystical higher power, a higher self, and all this thing that we were talking about here these two evenings were locked up in that whole thing. All right, now I'd like to open up for questions and anything you'd like to add or questions you want to, something I've missed that you want to talk about. Yes. Yes, I did speak a little bit about that last night. Yes, I worked at John F. Martin Butcher Shop, and when they drilled the well there, they got a Mennonite water witcher in to find their well there. And there's a lot of well drillers that are very acquainted with them and get them, you know, the people want them in there before they tell the well driller where to drill. That is, again, a form of divination. Divination is trying, which is forbidden in Deuteronomy 18, that you should not have anything to do with those who use divination, meaning to find out the unknown, using divining rods or a peach twig or pliers or coat hangers or all these different things. Doesn't matter what you use. It's so powerful that it actually pulls the bark right off of a twig sometimes when they walk over water. But it also can be used and is used to find gold or silver or oil or gas. And they also use it on a map, not just walking on the earth, but they'll take a road map and look for minerals on a road map. So it's widely used still in this county. A lot of people are having their wells filled with a water witcher coming in. And interesting enough, if you look it up in the encyclopedia, that's exactly what it calls it, water witching. And it is considered historically to be a part of witchcraft. That's what it is. This little blue book that we have to give out about is another name for it called dowsing. And that explains pros and cons, the whole thing there too. But like I say, they usually say it's because they have a certain electricity in the body, but the earth stops the flow of electrons, not that you can find water through the earth 100 feet deep, you know, with water witching. It's a mystical power, or as Acts 19 says, a curious art. That you bring your books together and burn them if you want revival in your life. Get. And I want to just talk about the remedy here a little bit. Somebody was going to ask me. They knew I had three nights of this out in Illinois one time, and here I had two nights. And I don't want to miss the remedy, but the secret of this whole thing is to get rid of it. Is that people repent of it before God. I encourage very much that individuals who have been involved in witchcraft get on their knees and acknowledge that I have done wrong. I have sinned against God. I have done that which is an abomination before God, which God has told me not to do. And I'm sorry for it. I want no part of the devil, any demons, or any psychic powers. I renounce them in Jesus' name. That's the way to approach this thing. Ask the Lord Jesus to cleanse you by faith in Him, by the blood of Jesus Christ, to forgive you for having dabbled in the occultic powers or the New Age movement. Accept forgiveness by faith and yield yourself completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. I further recommend that individuals, if they have really been involved in this thing, that they have brethren pray for them. Sometimes even with the laying on of hands, if they have really deeply been involved in it, they seem to not be able to get out of it alone by themselves, but need some brethren to gather around them and pray for them and admonish them by Scripture. And we have seen many, many a person become gloriously set free from it. Testify of your deliverance. Tell others. Warn your friends. Tell your parents, brothers and sisters, that God has set me free. I have come to the light on this thing, and I want to be free from it. And then I would say spend some time, go in prayer, fasting, asking God to cleanse you from everything, and seek fellowship with those that are against it. That's also very good and important thing to do. That's the remedy. When we find out that we're living in error, living in sin, made a big mistake, dabbled with the occult, turn away from it. That's what repentance is. Turn and return back to God.
Amen.
And have nothing to do with it. Asking the Lord Jesus to help you and cleanse you from it.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.